struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude. It's very easy for me to pick the one thing that's wrong rather than concentrate on the 10 things that were right." I think we can all relate to what Elizabeth is saying. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot. That Bible verse is found in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. I want to talk to you today about some letters that I've had with a very important message. A 17-year-old girl who had read my book called Passion and Purity wrote to say, "Thank you for not compromising the truth of God's Word. He has used your books and tapes and newsletter in my life to teach me to draw closer to Him. I'm 17 years old. God gives me many opportunities with girls at school and church to show them with love and truth that God's ways are best, that there is joy in obedience and purity. I am a virgin, and I believe God's Word to be absolute truth. Betty Scott Stamm's prayer is my prayer." And let me put in a parenthesis here that the prayer of Betty Scott Stamm, you can get a copy of if you would like to call Gateway to Joy. There would be no charge for this. And this is what it says: "Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept Thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all, utterly to Thee to be Thine forever. Fill me and seal me with Thy Holy Spirit. Use me as Thou wilt. Send me where Thou wilt. Work out Thy whole will in my life, at any cost, now and forever." So that's the prayer that this young woman had prayed, and it's a prayer that I began to pray when I was about 12 years old. She says, "I am deeply saddened by the number of my friends who compromise and fall, actually choose to sin sexually. If only they knew what God says and how God views us, they would not feel like they need the love of a man or a woman. I can relate to many of the struggles that you dealt with in Passion and Purity, but I am committing myself anew every day to God's will, in God's way and perfect timing. He knows what is best, for He is my sovereign Lord and King of my heart. Continue to speak the truth of God's Word to a generation who desperately needs to know Christ Jesus. I pray for you and your ministry and look forward to meeting you in heaven." And then she gives Psalm 33, verses 20 to 22. "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You." This is a perfect combination of His part, He is our help and our shield, and our part, we wait, rejoice, trust, and hope. And that's the end of her letter. And now, a letter from a man. My book, Passion and Purity, covers a subject which should concern every man just as much as every woman. Purity is God's command for us because He loves us, and passion is His gift to be received with thanksgiving and surrendered to His control. This man says, "Dear Elizabeth, a couple of weeks ago, I finished reading your book, Passion and Purity. What a great story and incredible lessons to be learned. Your book proved to be a catalyst in revealing things in my life which God had been working on. If I may, I'd like to mention three. First of all, the pure passion you and Jim shared was a confirmation of attitudes and standards which he has been reforming in me. It was good to see 20th century Christians live out the purity in a love affair as required by God's holiness. Secondly, I was encouraged by yours and Jim's unquestioned devotion to serving the Lord. You wrote of going to Ecuador with no more reservation than I would have of driving across the state to see my parents. It was good to see that a wholehearted dedication, even unto death, to the Lord is not limited to first century Christians. Finally, through your deep devotion to our precious Lord, I was able to see that He has a passionate love for me and I for Him. The Song of Songs took on a truly spiritual dimension for me as I was able to relate the pure, passionate love between the Shunammite and her beloved to the affections between Christ and myself. And in referring to the Song of Songs, of course, he's referring to the book of the Bible, which is called the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs. And it is a beautiful description of the love between a man and a woman. If you've never read the Song of Solomon, I think you would find it very well worth reading. And as this young man says, it also applies to a description between Christ and ourselves, as we are in an intimate relationship with Christ, having received Him as our Lord and Savior. He goes on to say, I know that I too am called to missions and am often impatient with His timing in sending me, but I know that He is preparing me for what lies ahead, and so I am content. Today I will be starting your book, Shadow of the Almighty, which is the biography of Jim Elliot. And I'm eagerly awaiting the effects Jim's life's testimony will have on my own faith. It's a sixth edition printing, 1958. I found it interesting that it's 3 years older than me, and yet so applicable and still uniquely profound. I know that you are a busy woman, but if you should get the time, I'd like to hear from you. I'm sure this will not be the last time yours and Jim's powerful testimony and witness affect my own. So I do thank you so very much, you two who wrote these letters. Thank you for understanding and wanting to live by the principles that I have sought to put forth in the book Passion and Purity, and of course also in Jim's biography, Shadow of the Almighty. There's quite a bit from his own standpoint about our love story. There are diary entries and letters there as well. He refers to 1 Thessalonians 4 in his letter, and that's another passage which makes it very clear what God's standard is for us who want to be His, for us who want to be holy. God sets a very high standard. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning with verse 1, Brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, and that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Many of my listeners write to me and say, well, I don't agree with you about this or that, and some of your opinions I don't feel comfortable with. Of course, you have every right to disagree with my opinions. They're not worth much of anything. But when I give you the Word of God, I would hope that you would be much slower to ignore it or to discard it. Because as Paul says here, he who rejects these instructions does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, I have not given you an interpretation of 1 Thessalonians 4. I have given you the exact words of what God says. If you want to do God's will, and you find here in this passage that it is God's will that you should avoid sexual immorality, wouldn't the smartest way to be obedient to God be not even to play along the edges of the precipice of sexual immorality? Why get into physical contact with a member of the opposite sex? Why tempt the Lord? Why put yourself in a position of temptation? Honestly now, if you find yourself in the back seat of a car with a very attractive person of the opposite sex, is it different holding that person's hand than it is when you shake the hand of the minister at the end of church? Is it different if you choose to kiss that person than a kiss to your grandmother would be? Be honest, and the answer, you know, of course, is yes. It's very different. It's about as different as night and day. Is it exciting? Yes, it's exciting. And it gets more and more exciting the more intimate it gets, doesn't it? And then what is likely to happen? Don't give me this line, I don't know how it happened. You put yourself in a position of temptation. And the Apostle Paul gives the advice to the young Timothy, flee from temptation. Get yourself out of there. Move. Turn the lights on. Get away. Well, that's practical advice, isn't it? And here are two young people who appreciate it. I hope there are three or four more of you out there, and God bless you as you maintain your virginity and offer it only to God until God gives you that person in marriage.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.